Whatever the boy said, listen to the late Parshas Vayigash. Haba Aleinu L'Toyva, we have the great schus of learning my father's bar mitzvah parsha. Pretty good. His birthday is coming up soon. And I want to dedicate our shiur. Unfortunately, I have a very long list here of people to dedicate it for. First of all, to our dear student, Yosef David Pepper, who unfortunately tragically died a week ago. His family should get chizuk, and should be a melech yosher for them. The great Rav Gedalia Schwartz was an unbelievable figure, the Av Beis Din of the Beis Din of America, Rav in Chicago. I had this chus, my father sent me a wonderful video of his when he was at the Chag HaSmicha a number of years ago, and he's just an amazing, amazing person. And a lot of people need refuas. And I have a list here. There's probably a lot more, but specific people that I know, for Shlema, for Tzvi ben Pesha, Natanel Ilan ben Shena Sipora, Natanel Ferber, who was a soldier for many years, who was injured, who for the first time, Baruch Hashem, started to recognize things and grab onto things, and but a very, very difficult road to recovery. Margulis Chaviva Baschana, Adina Yael Bas Miriam, fortunately someone who has cancer, Nissan ben Bluma, one of our students' fathers, who's not doing well with COVID, and many other cholim besuch shar chol Yisrael that I have in mind now as well. So, it's surprising to me, I do research on Motzei Shabbos to figure out what shir I should be giving. And this Motzei Shabbos, I try to listen to my old shir. That's when my kids usually come down and be like, Abba, why do you listen to yourself speak, you know? But I want to make sure I don't like to give over the same piece of Torah. And I hadn't quoted my Rebbe, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik's wonderful Sefer, which you can have for like $300 because it's not in print anymore, The Warmth and the Light. And I realized I don't think I've quoted it the whole year. And surprisingly, I didn't quote this parsha. And I realized the reason probably is that as I listen to the shiurim, I think almost every shiur that I've given for the last 5 years, so when I started Lessons from the Lave, was actually I was in America during Vayigash. Whether it was recruiting for the yeshiva or in my current job, I guess because it's the week after Hanukkah, so that's when a lot of people go away. So I finally get to do something live, Baruch Hashem. And this is, I don't want to say it's a classic Rav Aaron, but this is something I refer to many, many times, but never did it in depth, and I'm happy to be able to do it today. The topic for today is, why are we called Jews and not Joes? Yes. We see that right in the beginning of our parsha, Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda does something amazing, right? Vayomer, bi Adoni yedaber na avdecha, right? He doesn't know who he's talking to, and he's the one. He approaches Yosef, and he says, all right, enough. Bini, it's my guy. I'll die for him. Take me instead. And this is a remarkable change in the attitude of the brothers. My friend Yuri Axelrod showed me a Ramban, where the Ramban speaks about this idea that they're, you know, last week's parsha is so difficult. Why do they have to go through all these loops? I mean, still, in our parsha as well. They're jumping through hoops. What is he playing games with them? He's not playing games at all. This had to happen in this way so that they finally would recognize who Yosef was, meaning that they did a little bit of tshuva. Last week, one of the key points was the words Aval Hashem Ne'amanachnu, which we might get to today. That key line was they admitted that they were guilty in what they did. They never knew that before. They never admitted it. And now the brothers show that Binyamin, that little boy, is someone they'll protect, despite the fact, you know, he comes from that family, you know, that... No, the brotherly love is shown. And that's Yehuda, Gur Aryeh, right? Gur Aryeh Yehuda, the one who will take over for Malchus. Malchus will be through Yehuda. I'm from Sheva Yehuda, I'm told. My parents' lineage is from Sheva Yehuda, the original Chassidim, from David HaMelech. I could be a Melech. It's interesting because Rav Shechter always tells a story about his father. His father's name was Melech Shechter. Rav Melech Shechter. So he says that my father used to say, you could also be a Melech one day, like I'm a Melech. And he's like, I never understood what that meant. I thought he was just talking about his father's name. He's like, oh, I'm not going to change my name to your name. What does that mean? Right? And he says, but we should realize that we come from Malchus. So, Yehuda, according to the Zohar,
The Midrash points this out. The Zohar points out this Midrash, I should say. Yehuda was able to psychologically go into the inner depths of Yosef. And he knew exactly how to speak to him, not knowing it was Yosef, of course. To put in his heart, to plant in his heart, how much he cared, the Rachmanis aspect that needed to come out, which we will point out today, of why we are Jews and not Joes. And we see this happens again. When Yosef finally reveals himself, and now finally Yaakov's coming, the first edict that Yaakov says, he goes to Yehuda and he says, establish Goshen. We're not living amongst the Mitzrayim in this corrupt country. It was morally corrupt country. We're not going to live in Alexandria or Cairo or Taba, whatever. We're moving to Goshen. I pointed this out before, the words in our parasha, Gashna, Kimel Shen Nun Hey, the dreidel. Well, okay, we got to share a plate of, I still have Chanukah on my mind. It was Yehuda, because he showed this amazing quality. Says Rav Aaron, Parshas Vayigash tells us the story of him defending his brother, Yosef. Of him defending his brother, Binyamin. Coming in front of him to the threat of death. He could die. He's Mishnah LeMelech. Yes, Yehuda's smart and he says, you're like the king. But he could have killed him. So what do you do? What are you, chutzpah? Why are you coming up to me like this? So, there's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah, Rav Aaron quotes this beautiful Medrash. The Medrash Rabbah says the following. The Medrash Rabbah says that Yehuda, Ata yaducha achicha. Achicha moidim b'cha. Imcha moidim b'cha. Ani ba'atzmi moidim b'cha. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Yiya kol achicha nikraim al shimcha. All generations will be called because of you. We'll be called Jews because of your name. Nobody's going to go up to him, hey, look at you, you dirty Ruvaini. Right? Oh, you're dirty Jew. That's what they say. I mean, that's not what the Midrash is talking about. But everybody won't call, you're not a Shimoni. Right? And as I said, you're not a Joe. You're not Yosef. You're a Jew, says the Midrash. That's what we're going to be known as. And of course, David HaMelech will come from this amazing Sheva. And it's interesting, says Rav Aaron. Why are we called Jews? And what's even more interesting, Rav Aaron points out, is that Yehuda's action from the sale of Yosef until the time he reveals his true identity to Yosef, reveals himself to his brothers, says Rav Aaron will explain what's going on over here. Why did they sell Yosef? So there's a lot of different Meforshim who give us the different reasons. Maybe they didn't sell him actually. It wasn't sold. Or Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece in the Sefer on Chumash where he goes through beautiful halachic idea that it was in Shechem, so it was part of Yosef's Shevet, therefore it's not called sold because it's his own land. No, a shtickle Torah, if you will. But the Pasuk in Amos, Perek Bet, Pasuk Vav says, Ko amar Hashem al shloshet pshei Yisrael v'al arba lo ashivenu ki mikerim bekesef tzadik ve'evyon be'avor na'alayim. The three transgression of Israel. For 4 hour revoked, because they sold him for, they have sold for silver those who cause was just and the needy for a pair of sandals. The Mefarshim say this is talking about Yosef was sold for shoes. The motivation of Yehuda was shoes? Are you kidding me? The brothers were short on cash from their father, Yaakov? They didn't have enough money? According to the Midrash, Yosef was sold in order to obtain money for shoes. How can that be? Shoes? Wasn't this brotherly hate for him? The jealousy, as Midrashim actually say? Doesn't make any sense. So Rav Aaron brings, and this is the godless of Rebbe Moir Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, right? Rav Aaron was able to take a piece and say, wait, I got it. Rambam Shmona Parakim. This will explain this. The Rambam writes in his Shmona Parakim that there are two types of character nobility. There's one that's called a chassid mu'ula. He's an ideal state, saint, perfect. He's got no yetzahara. He's naturally good. His inner being, he has no struggles. All the conflicts that he has are in the environment, not within himself. He is, therefore, Moishel ben Nefasha. He is a person who dominates his nefesh, his neshama. He can overcome anything. Who is that? That's Yosef. Yosef was, wow. But who's the regular people? The Rambam continues. And he writes that philosophers maintain, this is the Rambam speaking, that a chassid is superior character trait, right? According to the philosophers, we're talking about not Jewish philosophers, right? A saint is the best thing. Lahavdil, but Christianity believes that in order to be a saint, what do you have to do? You have to take away anything that is considered to be gashmius. You're not to be married. A priest can't be married. It doesn't make any sense. A nun can't be married. We take away that. Nu nebuch. Some people have to get married and have children. That's because, you know, the animalistic needs. Says the Rambam, that's not what we believe. Right? The less desire that I have to commit a transgression, they argue, the higher level you can reach. Chazal tell us that's the opposite, says the Rambam. A person who has to fight, who's Moshel Benafshoi. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says, the Rambam writes, in Torah's Kahanim, that a person shouldn't say, I can't tolerate eating meat with milk, wearing shatnez, having illicit sexual relations. Rather, he should say, I would want to violate the laws. I would love to have a ham sandwich. But I'm not allowed to. Yesterday, my daughter came home. And she says to me, unfortunately, she has a license now, so she's driving. Besides, she tells me there's no gas in the car. She said, oh, I just went to the sushi place. I'm not going to say the name because it's Lashon Hara, what I'm about to say. And the sushi place has one plus one, whatever. Now you get to know what it is. And she said, oh, they made me the most delicious sushi roll. I don't eat sushi. So sushi roll. I said, okay, what was it? That doesn't really mean much to me because I hate sushi. And he said, it was a tempura roll. I said, okay, what was it? She says, oh, it was fish. Half of it was fish and half of it was chicken. I'm like, speak it out, speak it out. She's like, oh, that's a problem. She calls her friend, oh my God, we did something wrong. It was half and half, but they were eating it together, whatever. So a person should look at that sushi and say, I want to eat that, but I can't combine it. That's sakana. A chassid me'ula doesn't never think from that. Again, just to reiterate, you have two levels. Moshe ben Nafshel wasn't Yosef. Moshe ben Nafshel is, I'm fighting the nefesh all the time. I'm fighting to be good. I have to be a Moshe, to be a fighter. A chassid me'ula is, it's easy. It's easy for me. We see some of these people on this high, we said, that guy. And oftentimes we're wrong, by the way. Some of the greatest rabbis talk about the struggles that they have. I remember once speaking to a great, great Rav, and I was shocked when he said something to me. I couldn't believe he said it. We were talking, Stam, and talking about some of the challenges and so on and so forth, and he said to me, do people not think there's a challenge of sexual immorality in this generation? Well, because I'm a rabbi, I never look at women, we all have yetzaharas. I was like, well, you, rabbi, you? We're human. But I'm Moshe ben Nafshoi. I try. It's true that sometimes to us it's antithetical. I think I told you the story. When I was in America, I went out with a friend of mine. We went to this new restaurant, I think it was called Streets in the Five Towns, and I got a Reuben. Apparently it's called a real Reuben. I didn't know what a real Reuben was, but apparently it's a real Reuben is corned beef with cheese. So this guy makes it with, I hope, fake cheese. And I couldn't tolerate it. I couldn't eat it. I started eating and I'm like, this is just antithetical to, I can't, I know it's fake. I know it's okay. I didn't like the taste of it. I was like, it's true. Moshe ben Nafsho, says Rav Aaron, the Rambam's Moshe ben Nafsho approach, the mitzvahs are completely undictated by human consciousness. Moshe Gamaliel mentions illicit sexual relations, he says, among the transgressions, which a person should not say that he cannot tolerate. It's not easy, he's saying. We have to fight it. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Chaf that Yosef had no Yetzihara. The what? Meaning? Right. And that's why Svardim says Ben Parat Yosef. Right? Something, I used to have an amazing cleaning lady. I mean, she wasn't amazing in the cleaning department, but she was an amazing woman. She made us the most amazing Shabbos dinner once. We paid her instead of cleaning that day. She was very happy. Can you make us a traditional Moroccan? She was Moroccan. She can make us a Moroccan. She made us fresh couscous. Like fresh. She made her couscous and chicken and matouch. It was amazing. So she had a minhag. She had a minhag, amazing minhag, that she used to break things in our house every week. She would break things, frames, all of that. And she would tell us how lucky we are. Kapara, ben parat Yosef, para kapara lachem. I was like, what? Right? Yosef had no evil eye, we say. And Yaakov, in describing the character traits of Yosef, says that he was a chassid mu'ula, he was a saint. And as the pasuk says, Birchas Shamayim mi'al birchas tahom, ravetzes tachas birchas shadayim lerechem. The bracha from Shamayim that he had, the blessing was deep within him. Yosef was considered a chassid. His very being was that of a chassid, was that of someone who was able to counter the Yetzer Hara like nobody else. In a situation, quite honestly, when we think of the story of Eishes Potiphar, nobody would succeed there. How did he do it? This doesn't mean that Yosef doesn't get any credit, says Rav Aaron. I'm not saying that it was easy, necessarily. He had a lot of struggles every step of the way with Eishes Potiphar, because he saw Baruch HaKodesh that he was going to marry someone from Potiphar's family. He married his daughter. Do you know that? The Lessig's Parsha. He marries Osmani. It doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine going to the chasana and your mother-in-law is like, hey, got out of jail? Like, how can it be? However, Yehuda's Moshe ben Nafsho, he's this symbol of tshuva. He's the symbol of, you fell, get up. You fell, get up. And I said it twice on purpose, because you don't fall once. You fell, get up. You're sheer bet, and you didn't go to Minyan on Shabbos? Okay, now it's Sunday morning, let's go. Move on. That's a symbol of tshuva. When Yehuda realizes the great error that he made with Tamar, what does it say? Sitko mimeni. She's more righteous than I am. And that's when his process began. Because he was Moshe ben Nafsho, he started tshuva. And that's the bracha of Yehuda that Yaakov gives him in Parshas Vayichi. Yehuda, ato yodecha, I know your brother shall praise you. Yaducha achicha yadcha. Because you will be able to break the hands of the enemies. Yehuda is a gur aryeh, is a lion. Because you elevate yourself even when you fall, and you're able to succeed. A lion can have a lot of drives. Right? We spoke about my son Aaron took this Devar Torah upon himself, which is beautiful. And he says this a lot. He says a person could be born with a tendency towards blood, Rahman al-Utslan. But you know what? He could become a doctor. Doesn't have to be a murderer. Right? This is the Esav dilemma. Right? Shouldn't he be a tzaddik Esav? He killed Nimrod. But he didn't do it because he wanted to save the world. He did it because he wanted to kill. Yehuda took the Gur Aryeh, that strong personality, and used it for greatness. After selling Yosef, Yehuda the lion was a symbol of freedom, was willing to sacrifice himself for his brother Binyamin. That was Moshe. He didn't go up to his brother, not knowing it was his brother Yosef, and say, "Hey, I'm going to kill you if you don't let him bribe up." No, no, no. He knew how to speak softly. And therefore, we understand that we are more like, not, I'm sorry to say, chassid m'ulas, but chassid b'nafshay. Majority of people are not born saintly. It's something we have to work on. And therefore, we can understand that the selling of Yosef through a pair of shoes seems so inhumane, but is understood. And here we don't have time, unfortunately, to go through Rav Aaron's beautiful piece of Torah, where he understands the importance through a very, very beautiful idea of the shoes by Chalitza, and why specifically the Vilna Gaon writes the word Ma'on is used, that a person just refuses, as opposed to Lachafetz, where a person is grounded in logical reasoning. There's no reasoning. It's a chok. The shoes define us and say, Admas Kodesh Heim. Moshe Rabbeinu has to take his shoes off. The Kohen has to take his shoes off. Today, Kohanim have to take their shoes off. It's Admas Kodesh. Says Rav Aaron, they sold him for shoes because we were saying we didn't recognize the Admas Kodesh. Every individual and what they have. And that's part of this process that makes no sense. Excuse me for saying, but it doesn't. Right? Yibun, to marry somebody's but we say, listen, it doesn't make sense. But this, right? So we do chalitza today. We don't allow yibun. But we do it dafka. You should take the shoe off and say, I know this is for the betterment of me. It doesn't make any sense, really. But this is what has to happen. And that's why we're called Jews and not Joes. Finally, Rav Aaron says, and again, I'm skipping a lot, I apologize, but Yehuda was known for 2 points. What does he say in fighting in our parsha for Binyamin? Number one, the anguish of Yaakov would suffer Binyamin not returning. The fact that Yehuda, number two, had become the security of Binyamin. The surety of Binyamin. He was the one who was defending him. I'm my brother's keeper. Says Rav Aaron, from the point of secular law, the second point is much stronger. That I'm willing to die? Who cares about what your father, the whole thing? However, the uniqueness, says Rav Aaron, of Avram Avinu, is first the staka, and then there's mishpat. Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, Rav Aaron says, in the great parasha of Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, is you have to pursue, Tagam Yonah says, righteousness through righteousness. You want to be a chassid, you want to reach that level of chassid, you got to pursue it through tzidkus. And that's why Unkelus interprets the word Tzedek as kashot, kushta. My first experience ever with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, this is exactly what he said to me. I asked him, what does it mean? Aval Hashem anachnu. But we were guilty. He says, no. And he looks at me and he says, Bekushta, Bekushta. And I said, what? I never talked to him in my life. Bekushta, Kushta. And I'm like, oh my God, what is this? He's totally out of it. And he takes a chumash and he says, it's the same lashon. Look at Al Hashem anachnu. Last week's parasha says, Bekushta. Betzedek. We thought we were doing the right thing. You, this is no. I'm going to realize I made a mistake. That's the level. And you, and there says Yosef, ah, now you got it. You have to start with the first most important thing, Rachmanis. That's what a person has to do. Tzedakah has to be. It's against the modern concept of law of din. Yahadus has the concept of duty leads to the concept of rights. In the United States, there's no obligation to save 6 million Jews, he says. Why? Yahadus says, no, you have to have Rachmanus. That comes first. He says, my father. Says Rav Aaron, one reason why we're called Yehudim is to indicate that we have to struggle. Not only externally, but internally. We must try not to walk on holy ground with our shoes. Emphasize that tzedakah u'mishpat. Tzedakah always comes first. We have to have rachmanus for others. And by the way, shoes generally were made out of leather. It was that ultimate goal that we are over animal. We put an animal on our shoes, right? Normally we're not wearing animal products. Usually we wear a leather jacket, but the shoes dignified us, number one, as the we are able to stand on 2 feet. And we're Moshel, and that's why on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, you can't wear shoes. You're not going anywhere. You're not Moshel on anything. Look what you did wrong. Be a Yehuda, be a Jew, not a Joe. Joe, we can't reach the level of Joes we would love to, but we can't. That's the concept, the kushta, b'tzedek. The concept of being a Yehuda is getting up, yes, and fighting for what we believe, but not having somebody turn to you and say, oh yeah, you're so from a chutzpah. You have a little podcast, a chutzpah podcast. I remember when you were in Hafter. Who do you think you are? You fight that. And what do you say to yourself? I'm just giving an example. You fight that and you say to yourself, who cares what I was? It's what I am now. We're not all chutzimula. We have to be Moshe b'nafsho. I have to fight to let my neshama shine. That's what a Yehuda is. Yehuda v'tamar? That's the guy who's going to represent the Jewish people? Oh yeah. Because that's all of us. I don't know what would have been with Eishes Potiphar and us. But that's a chassid. That's not what all Jews are. We're not like other religions. We struggle, we fight. We have Yetzaharas. But we are Jews. We get up. And when I eat this thing I'm not supposed to eat or the questionable thing, we get up from there. That's what it is to be a Jew. We should be zeiche to follow the ways of our forefather Yehuda and be zeiche to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu with Shevet Yehuda, Mashiach Ben David, Yavod V'Yigaleinu, B'Meherav Yameinu. Amen.